second tape, and there we are. Okay, we're on the second tape, side one.
So I'd been the associate dean for student affairs for about 2.5 years roughly, and so then Bob said, well, why don't we get you to do some other things? I'll appoint, which he did, Jerry May to be associate dean, and we'll get you started on the Alumni Association. But in the meantime, I had been reappointed. I never said any of this so far, but I was originally appointed to the Board of Medical Examiners in 1977 by Mike O'Callaghan, and I had been reappointed by Bob List and then by Dick Bryan and ultimately by Bob Miller. But at that time, the Board of Medical Examiners wanted the secretary to spend more time because the workload was enlarging and everything was enlarging. So the Board of Medical Examiners then paid me a salary to be there, I think about 20%, about a day a week. And the medical school paid me, I don't know, I think maybe 50% of my salary. So I then really split my time between the medical school jobs that Bob would have me do, teaching, because I was teaching all this time. I was teaching ethics, so I didn't get into all the details, but I would teach ethics 2 afternoons a week to freshmen and sophomores, and I'd make rounds at the hospitals. And then I would go over to the Board of Medical Examiners, and I did that until my term was up in 1996.
Okay, now I'd like to talk about the Board of Medical Examiners and experiences there, and we ought to make that a whole
section,
if you don't mind. I did have a couple of questions.
Sure.
And just one side, out of curiosity only, this heart attack, which you're terming a heart attack, was a blocked artery, was caused by, was it something that you could have expected because of your surgery, or?
Well, it turns out that they're not really sure, but both Dr. Noble and Dr. Vix thinks it's related to the cortisone that I'm on. After I had the transplant in 1987, and since, right up till today, I've been taking a number of medications that are to prevent rejection. I'm on Imuran, which is an anti-rejection, as well as prednisone, and I take some others. I take a drug for blood pressure, and I take a drug for my thyroid, and I take a diuretic, of course, to help urine production. And when they went in and did the surgery in 1987, the surgeon said to Celia and I, Tom has very young blood vessels. He doesn't have a lot of atherosclerosis. He doesn't have, you know, bad rotten blood vessels. They were looking right at it. And Larry Noble told me the same thing in 1989 when he did the coronary angiogram. He said, your blood vessels look pretty good. They're not raggedy and looking like the atherosclerotic. But he thinks the clot was created probably by the prednisone, because we know that prednisone, one of its side effects is what is called hypercoagulability. That is, the blood clots easier than otherwise. And a matter of fact, since that time, I've been on Coumadin, which is rat poisoning, as you know, and I've been on Coumadin since 89, because Larry
keeping
the blood thin. I bruise easily, you know, if I bang myself, I bruise.
Yeah.
That's mainly, so they think that it was probably a drug effect rather than the typical atherosclerotic narrowed arteries, because the arteries actually look pretty good. And I apparently had very little heart damage, because I've now been back several times and gone through the, you know, the treadmills and that stuff, and I walk several miles a day now, and so I apparently don't have what you would assume was a typical heart disease. This is probably the drug effect. The net effect is the same. If you plug off an artery, you have chest pain and all the rest. So,
you didn't have any permanent damage.
No, none that I'm aware of. No, and my cardiograms since have been fine, and Larry says I can do whatever I want.
Well, that was just my curiosity.
Yeah,
now,
sure.
I wanted to ask a couple of questions about the Hastings Center.
Yes.
Dr. Callahan, who was a PhD.
Yes.
He
and his wife also is one.
Oh, he started it?
Yes, he started.
And what's the Hastings? What's that name?
That comes from Hastings on the Hudson, the town of Hastings.
Oh, just because it's from the town?
Yeah, because they put it into the house that was...
That Billy Burke
had.
What was that like?
Oh, it was an old mansion kind of thing, you know, went up a big driveway that sort of was a circular driveway with a portico, you know, and I'm sure it was a lovely place in the 20s. It was falling down at that point.
On the river?
Well, it was on a bluff.
Is it on the river?
No, it's off the river from, a couple of miles down the hill.
Oh.
Hastings on the river, you can go right down to the river from there, but I mean, where the house was up on a hill.
Had they converted it?
They just took it, and what would
kept
be...
Kept the rooms the way they were?
Exactly. This room might have been somebody's bedroom, and now it's somebody's study.
I see.
And the dining room was made into a conference room and a library, and the kitchen was expanded, and upstairs the bedrooms had 6 or 7 bedrooms, porches, and every place where they could stick anybody with a desk and a computer and a telephone, they stuck people. So it was a very eclectic kind of place.
Yeah, I guess.
It was fascinating.
What was his background, Callahan's?
Dan's a philosopher, but also had written a long time, had been actually I think he had been the editor of Commonweal, which is a Catholic-oriented, somewhat liberal, I guess, news magazine about what's going on in philosophy and religion and all that.
Is he a theologian as well?
No, I'm sure he had. Everyone thought Dan was marvelous. He still is marvelous. I shouldn't talk about him in the past tense. He's a wonderful guy and has a couple of kids. His wife is, I think, a PhD in sociology. She teaches at a local college. But he had a lot of background in philosophy and religion, but a little bit older than I am. I'm not sure how old Dan is. He might be in his late 60s now. You could look it up. But he's a wonderful guy. But no, it was a very intellectual place. Dan has published, I don't know how many books. He's best known now for his recent books on setting limits and how are we as a society going to ration health care. His first book was on abortion, actually, and he lives in Hastings on the Hudson.
So he's still there?
Oh, yeah. They actually have moved. They're no longer there. They got a bigger home up the river. First they went to the campus of a college in what's the name of that town? I'll think about it. But now they're actually in Garrison, New York. They're up further up. Garrison is right across the river from West Point. And so they now have a new home up there. But he's written several books. I've got all of them. Someplace here and down. I've got a big library down in the basement. We won't give it any.
Okay, so this is Daniel Callahan.
Yeah, Daniel Callahan.
Daniel Callahan. Thank you. All right. So I think probably we'll stop now.
Okay.
And,
sounds good.
Pick up with the Board of Medical Examiners and how that went from beginning till now.
Yeah, a lot of that we've already told that story. You know.
In that book.
Book.
Right,
yeah.
But we'll need it for our
of course.
Record, if you don't mind. The
oh,
repetition.
I don't mind, but I'd be happy to say it. But a lot of that's what that focused on primarily.
I remember because
sure.
That was done from the standpoint of the medical
of
examiner's
course.
History.
Sure. Sure.
But we'll start with it, and I'm afraid it's going to be duplication. But
no, that's fine. You've looked at I gave you a copy of these books.
I have the Making Medical Decisions.
Yes. The identical same
one.
Book.
Yeah, I don't have that
all
one.
You guys, you don't even need one. It's the same book.